Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today, we're going to talk about food.
Yay!
Yes, food. But unfortunately, we're going to be talking about a kind of food that probably isn't really good for you.
No.
Especially if you eat it in large quantities. You should really eat your fruits and vegetables and things like that. But we're going to talk about a snack that you might enjoy from time to time. And it's kind of a summertime snack as well. So here we are. In the later part of March, and it's getting closer to summer, so maybe you're going to plan on some hiking trips with some of your classmates or your coworkers or your family members or something like that. And when you go camping, you might build yourself a campfire and maybe sing songs and tell ghost stories and stuff like that. But also something you can do is eat marshmallows over a fire.
Yeah, marshmallows and chocolate and something called a graham cracker. We'll talk about that. My favorite thing to do with marshmallows is to put a bag of them on the stove with butter and a cereal, a breakfast cereal called Rice Krispies, which are puffed rice, and put it all together and then...lay it out in a flat pan, and then cut it into squares. Those are called Rice Krispie treats. I miss those. Sometimes I see them in Taiwan. Not often, but I know one time I saw them at an import grocery store, and I bought a box. Man, they're good. Love Rice Krispie
treats. Yeah, I think my sister had a great recipe for those as well.
They're easy to make.
You think you could find them here in Taiwan because of rice, but Rice Krispies in the U.S. is a kind of breakfast cereal, and you don't really find that here. Although they have the puffed rice you can buy from people on street corners sometimes. Maybe you could fake it with that.
Oh, maybe
I don't know.
That would work.
But in any case, in case you already guessed, we're talking about marshmallows.
Yeah.
I should say, in case you haven't guessed, we are talking about marshmallows today. It's kind of a puffy, soft, cute, kind of a snack that you have. You can have them at various functions. Sometimes you can have them.Just as a snack or something. But most of the time you have them like if you're going out with friends or something, having a campfire.
They really are just a lot of sugar.
Yeah, so, something you don't want to eat a lot of. Maybe one or two.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of flavor. We'll talk about what you can put with them so they taste better. But first, we're going to read through today's article and talk about the history of marshmallows.
Around a campfire, no snack can satisfy our taste buds like a roasted marshmallow. Its slightly burned outer portion is a perfect complement to the marshmallow's sweet and gooey interior. Yet, have you ever wondered about the history of this unusual puffy treat? The word marshmallow is actually a combination of two words. Mallow refers to the mallow plant,from which the marshmallow comes. The term marsh was added in front because the plant grows in marshes. The saga of marshmallows began around 2000 BC when ancient Egyptians discovered how to extract sugary sap from the mallow plant. They then mixed it with nuts and honey to create a heavenly dessert that was reserved for royalty. The Greeks and Romans would also consume marshmallow sap,albeit for a different reason. They used it to treat sore throats and various aches and pains. People continued to use marshmallow sap primarily for medicinal purposes until the 1800s, when French candy makers rediscovered its sweet potential. They found a way to whip marshmallow sap into a fluffy state. Although people loved its spongy taste, the production process was time-consuming.So, a new method of creating marshmallow molds was developed. In addition, gelatin was substituted for mallow root. This enabled candy makers to create the firm, round marshmallows that we are familiar with today. In the early 20th century, marshmallows arrived in the U.S., and people found new ways to enjoy them. The 1927 Girl Scout Handbook contained the first recipe for s'mores. This snack combines roasted marshmallows with graham crackers and melted chocolate. To this day, marshmallows continue to be enjoyed as a special treat. You can find them in all shapes, colors, sizes, and flavors. No matter which type of marshmallows you choose, they are bound to be fluffy, sweet, and delicious.
Here's our scenario that we sometimes do in these articles. So picture in your mind, you're sitting around a campfire. So you're camping, maybe you went up to the mountains, or you're in a nice prairie field. You've got a fire and you're all sitting around it. No snack can satisfy your taste buds like a roasted marshmallow. What we do is we go find a tree branch and a big fat marshmallow. We put it on the end of that stick and we hold it over the fire. And you want the fire to kind of burn it a little bit so it looks burnt. They're really good that way. And people are just talking and laughing and roasting marshmallows. That is a common campfire activity when you go camping. Everybody wants to do that.
Nice to have those sort of fantasies about childhood and stuff like that.
We all did it.
It's been years since I've done that myself.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had much of a chance to do that here. Although marshmallows are available locally, lots of convenience stores sell them. Or you can simply go to Costco and get a huge, 20-pound bag that you can carry out of the store
in
a backpack.
And guess what? They have Rice Krispie cereal.
Ooh.
So you can make Rice Krispie treats.
Check out a recipe online if you've got an oven, it will work out.
You don't need an oven, Tom.
Really?
No, stovetop. You just melt them.
All right.
Oh, it's easy. It's not, it doesn't require baking. That's why Rice Krispie treats, kids make them. They're great.
But I've learned my lesson not to listen to you for recipes because they're always for very sweet things that are not good for you. And that's probably something only kids should enjoy if they're not worrying about their blood sugar and stuff like that. But in any case here, we're talking about the slightly burned outer portion. Slightly, just a little bit. It's burned on the outside. That's the perfect complement to the marshmallow's sweet and gooey interior. So the outside will be a little hard, slightly burned on the outside, and then inside it will be sweet and gooey. Gooey means it kind of drips all over the place. It sticks to things. I can't describe, but let's see, what's a gooey? Maybe maple syrup is kind of gooey. There are various gooey syrups here in Taiwan as well, especially for sweet things. But here we've got the word complement. That can be both a verb and a noun. It just means something goes well with something.
Yeah, but notice, guys, it sounds the same as the word compliment, which is what dame, where you tell someone, oh, you look so great today, or what a pretty shirt you have on, or what a pretty dress you're wearing. They're not the same definitions, although the pronunciation is the same. If something compliments this way, like Tom said, it just suits something else. It goes together well with something else. So you could say, oh, that blouse you're wearing really complements your skirt. You know, they go together well. But again, it's the same pronunciation as, oh, I like your haircut. That's a compliment, too.
With an I in the middle.
Right.
Compliment here with an E, which, again, is a noun. But it can also be a verb to go together with something in this particular case. Mm-hmm. So it's the perfect compliment, or you could say the outer portion complements the sweet and gooey interior. The interior here, of course, is the inside. Yet, still, have you ever wondered about the history of this unusual puffy treat? Most of you probably said, no, we don't care. Why do we have to talk about this? But we are going to talk about it today because it is oh so fascinating. I myself am wondering about this myself. So here we go. The word marshmallow is actually a combination of two words. Okay, so let's talk about how this word came about. It's two words put together. Mallow refers to the mallow plant, which I did not know existed.
I've never heard of it before today.
Do a Google search for that. You'll probably see pictures of that, the mallow plant.
Huh.
That's from which the marshmallow comes. Okay, so that's where it originally came. I don't think they use those plants for them nowadays, but that's where they started, the marshmallow plant, so mallow plant. And the term marsh was added in front because the plant grows in marshes. Now, a marsh is kind of like a swamp, okay? It's an area that's got lots of water there and lots of times lots of plants growing in that water. water, and you might see turtles there or frogs and stuff like that. I think of a marsh as being very similar to a swamp.
Yeah, me too. I would say they're pretty much interchangeable words. So the saga of marshmallows began around 2000 BC, a long time ago. Saga here just means the long story. Usually a saga involves a lot of different incidents. So you could say, oh, did you hear so-and-so's engaged? You should hear the saga of their romance or the saga of their relationship. Probably had a lot of twists and turns. So the saga of marshmallows began quite a long time ago when ancient Egyptians discovered how to extract or take something out of something else, sugary sap from the mallow plant. If you extract something, like I said, you take something out of something else. Usually, we use this verb to talk about a dentist pulling a tooth out. He has an extraction, or he extracted one of your teeth, because extract is a little bit more formal than pull. We sometimes just say the dentist pulled my tooth or pulled my tooth out. But you can also take some parts or some ingredients out of something and leave some ingredients remaining. And that's what we're talking about here. So they extracted this sugary sap. Sap is just a very sweet liquid that's kind of thick. We get sap from trees to make maple syrup that we put on pancakes. They extracted this sap from the mallow plant that I had never heard of before today. They then mixed it with nuts and honey. Ooh, yum. To create a heavenly dessert that was reserved for royalty. Long ago, before sugar was common for all of us in our everyday lives, only the very, very wealthy, usually royalty, only the royalty or people with a lot of money could get their hands on sugar. So sugar was kind of a treat. Heavenly dessert just means it's almost like you're in heaven. It's so good. So this was reserved or kept only for royalty, people who were kings, queens, lords, you know, duchess, dukes, things like that.
Lots of the treats we enjoy today started out as being treats for royalty, like ice cream and things like cake or whatever.
Any kind of sugar or sweet, yeah.
But then the rest of us managed to get it eventually in history. I wonder what sort of treats the rich are enjoying now that we'll enjoy maybe in 100 years. Kind of fun to imagine. But in any case, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要看的呢是棉花糖的历史。而在第一段前面两句呢都提到棉花糖的这种好吃的感觉。在第一个空格呢其实跟前面的文句并没有相关。但是同学要记住的是有时候在第一段的最后一句它就是用来导引第二段所要陈述的内容。而今天的第一个空格就是要考考同学有没有这样子的篇章结构的概念。在第二段提到的呢就是 marshmallow 棉花糖的历史，所以在第一个空格我们要选择 sentence C。 C 选项里面提到 Yet have you ever wondered about the history of this unusual puffy treat? 你有没有曾经想过呢关于这种非常特别蓬松美食的历史呢？所以第一题我们正确答案就选 C， 它呢是用来导引第二段所要陈述的棉花糖的历史。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue to talk about marshmallows. Uh-huh. So we've been talking about how they began. We have to go back to ancient Egypt. They could extract this sugary sap from the mallow plant. They mixed it with nuts and honey and gave it to their kings and queens. It was a heavenly dessert. And here to continue, the Greeks and Romans would also consume marshmallow sap, albeit for a different reason. So here, albeit here just means but for a different reason, basically. They would also consume this sap. The Greeks and the Romans liked it, but they didn't do it for the same reason as the Egyptians did. The Greeks and Romans, they had to be different. They used it for medicinal purposes. They used it to treat sore throats. Ugh, sore throat. Hey, where's some of that mallow plant sap? I need it for my sore throat. So they used it to treat sore throats. And they also used it to treat various aches and pains. Maybe you had some muscle spasms or something, or sore legs from doing too many squats or something like that, or various pains. Maybe it's, caused you some pain to go out and hunt rabbits or something like that. So they used this, what is it now? The mallow plant sap to cure those illnesses.
Yeah, in case you were going hunting for rabbits. Okay, so in the next paragraph, we've got people continued to use marshmallow sap primarily for medicinal purposes until the 1800s. You know, they used to use Coke for medicinal purposes. It wasn't, it wasn't drunk because it was, a pop or a good-tasting liquid. No, it was for health purposes. Primarily just means, for the most part, mainly, I work primarily on the east side of Taipei City. So back then, they actually didn't think of it as a treat or a dessert. It was used primarily for medicinal purposes. Medicinal is just an adjective of the word medicine. So I wondered if it tastes very good, if they're using it as a medicine. This was until the 1800s. That's when those smart French who gave us some of our best candy, our best sweets, French candy makers rediscovered its sweet potential. If you have potential, you have the ability or the likelihood of developing into something good in the future. Maybe you're not fully developed now, but you're showing potential. You have the capacity to develop into something great in the future.
So it was sweet with the Egyptians, the Greeks and the Romans kind of made it a medicine, and then the French said, hey, let's make it sweet again.
Yeah.
They rediscovered its sweet potential. They found a way to whip marshmallow sap into a fluffy state. So they figured out how to take this marshmallow sap and mix it up a certain way, maybe with a whisk or something like that.
Egg whites.
Something like that. Added some ingredients to it or used a blender or something like that. And they could whip it up into a fluffy state, which means it's kind of soft and puffy, which makes it a real special experience to taste. And the production process was time-consuming, as it says here later in the sentence. Although people loved its spongy taste, the production process was time-consuming. Time-consuming means it takes a lot of time, and of course that usually costs a lot of money, and you might need some special equipment for that. So yes, the people did love this new kind of fluffy, spongy marshmallow, but it takes a lot of time and effort to produce. So a new method of creating marshmallow molds was developed. Okay, so I guess they didn't fluff it up anymore. They just used molds, which is just something, usually a hard substance that's in the shape of the thing that you're going to make. So you pour something soft into the mold, and then you wait for the liquid to harden, and then you've got what you want.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, we use molds a lot, don't we? Especially for things like popsicles. You know, you have that liquid, a sweet liquid that you pour into a shape. Put it in the freezer, pop it out of the mold. You got the popsicle with the stick. So in addition, gelatin was substituted for mallow root. So that's when we started getting rid of the original plant, the mallow plant, and we used gelatin instead. Gelatin is part of Jell-O, if you've ever had Jell-O. Jell-O's not as popular here as it is in the U.S., but Jell-O is kind of a colorless, tasteless protein that we add sugar to, and it turns into a wobbly substance that you can eat. If you substitute something for something else, it means you take something and you replace something with that thing. Sometimes we have substitute teachers. Or I could say, hey, I'm going to substitute for Tom tomorrow because he can't come. He has another gig. So you can substitute someone for someone else or something for something else. So this enabled candy makers to create the firm, round marshmallows that we all know and love today, that we've seen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, this gelatin sort of reminds me of Xianzhao here in Taiwan. I don't know if they're the same thing. They're probably different, but they're very similar. It just makes food kind of congeal a little bit, kind of like Jell-O, kind of like gelatin.
Yeah.
So they're very similar. But in any case, moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, in the early 20th century, which would be the early 1900s, around the time of World War I, marshmallows arrived in the U.S., and people found new ways to enjoy them. Mm. So marshmallows came over from Europe, and they became popular in the United States, and then the Americans tried to do different things with them. They made different kinds of treats with marshmallows. I can only think of one myself, but you've also got the Rice Krispie treats.
There are two really big treats we make, s'mores and Rice Krispie treats.
That's right. So the 1927 Girl Scout Handbook contained the first recipe for s'mores. Yes, I remember having them when I was a kid. Actually, I wasn't very impressed with it, just graham crackers and chocolate.
Oh,
and marshmallows.
Good.
Some people like them. For me, it was like really nothing all that special. You know, I'd rather have the chocolate by itself.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah. But in any case, graham crackers, gee, how can we describe that? That's one of the ingredients, as it says here in the next sentence. This snack combines roasted marshmallows with graham crackers and melted chocolate. So graham crackers are like crackers, right? They're flat and they're kind of brown.
Yeah, but graham crackers, they have sugar on top of them and usually some cinnamon as well. They're really tasty and kids love them. And moms kind of think they're more healthy than a plain cookie like a chocolate chip cookie would be. I don't know about that. Mm. But it's really good if you can roast the marshmallow. If you just melt the marshmallow with the chocolate and the graham cracker, it's not quite as good. Tastes better if you're camping. And Girl Scouts would camp a lot. This title, S'mores, comes from I Want Some More. Mm. So it just turned into this cute s'more. So if you're cooking s'mores or roasting s'mores, that's what you're doing. You're taking those two graham crackers and kind of making a sandwich. So graham cracker top, bottom, and then chocolate and marshmallow in the middle, and it's pretty delicious. To this day, marshmallows continue to be enjoyed as a special treat. You can find them in all shapes, colors, sizes, and flavors. That's true. No matter what or which type of marshmallows you choose, they are bound to be fluffy, sweet, and delicious. I think that describes them perfectly.
I've only known about the white ones, but I have seen them here in Taiwan sold as pink or blue.
Especially
or white.
Especially during Easter time, they've got a lot of different colored marshmallows.
So check it out, everybody. Make sure you bring a bag of marshmallows on your next hiking trip. Okay,
yeah.
That brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
在第二段的倒数第二个句子提到 The Greeks and Romans would also consume marshmallow sap, albeit for a different reason. 提到呢，希腊人跟罗马人也会食用这种药鼠葵的汁液，不过是为了一个不同的理由，可不是把它当作甜点哦。延续这样子的文意，第二题我们可以选择 F 选项。Sentence F 里面提到 They used it to treat sore throats and various aches and pains. 对了，他们指的就是 the Greeks and Romans, 这些希腊跟罗马人呢，会用这样子的东西来治疗呢，喉咙疼痛跟各种不同的病痛。搭配文意，第二题的标准答案就选择 F 选项。接着来看到第三题空格前面的句子提到 Although people loved its spongy taste, the production process was time-consuming. 虽然大家都很喜欢这种有像海绵一样的口感，但事实上它的制作过程是非常的 time-consuming, 很耗时。那么搭配这样子的文意，第三题可以选择 D 选项。既然很耗时，所以该怎么办呢？So, a new method of creating marshmallow molds was developed. 所以就是有一种新的来制作棉花糖模型的方法出现了。所以根据文意，第三题的标准答案就选择 D 选项。接着第四段的开头，我们先来看到后面的句子提到 The 1927 Girl Scout Handbook contained the first recipe for s'mores. 这里提到的是西元1927年的女童经手册就收录了这样子的第一道食谱，大家特别注意一下，1927年也就是在20世纪初，所以搭配这样子的文艺脉络，第四题我们可以选择 A 选项。 Sentence A 提到 In the early 20th century, marshmallows arrived in the US and people found new ways to enjoy them. 提到呢，这个时候呢，这个棉花糖就到达了美国，然后人们发现了新的方法来享用它，就来搭配后面的女童军手册收录了这样子的食谱。接着第五个空格前面的句子提到 You can find them in all shapes, colors, sizes, and flavors. 棉花糖有各种不同的形状、颜色、大小以及口味。根据这样的文意，第五题我们可以选择 B 选项。 Sentence B 提到No matter which type of marshmallows you choose, they are bound to be fluffy, sweet, and delicious. 在这里提到的是，不论你选择的是哪一种类型的棉花糖，它们一定都非常的 fluffy, 松软。甜，而且呢，味道相当的美味。在这里提到的 no matter which type, 不论你选择哪一种，就可以来呼应前面的说，棉花糖其实有 all shapes, colors, sizes, and flavors。所以第五题的正确答案就选择 B 选项。特别要注意的是 ,B 选项后面有一个很重要的片语 ,be bound to, 再加上原形动词就解释成为务必一定是怎么样的。OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's all for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And please, we beg you, join us again next time for another edition of our program. We'll have lots of interesting things to talk about then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.